Parks and Reese, we're back in a nice long commercial free stretch here at 215-592-9494. And so let's give you our Twitter question. Let's get right into the discussion, and we'll get back to the phones here in a second. What do you want the Eagles to do going forward, right? And we were reading Elliott's piece that he wrote for the website, and he's talking about how you get underneath the salary cap, and they have a lot of work to do. They can cut some guys. They're also going to have to restructure some contracts, right? Like, it's the easy way to do it, how he's been doing it for a long time. So you go in, you give them upfront money, you stretch out the contract, you do roster bonuses or whatever. More or less what you're doing is you're kicking it down the road. You're kicking the can down the road just to create cap space now. And I realize that that's something they're probably going to have to do. It's not something I want the Eagles to do, right? Like, I don't want you to give a player like a Lane Johnson, like a Brandon Brooks. I don't want you to say, okay, well, listen, reduce your number for 2021, and you know that way you'll have a contract till 2023, 2024, 2025. I'm trying to stop doing that, at least for right now, until you're in a situation where you're contending, and then it makes it worth it to do that stuff. The whole reason why you're in this situation is your window was open for winning again, and you were trying to win another Super Bowl. You're not there right now. I am ready to do a tear it down, Sam Hinkie style. Any player that's not on a rookie contract, any player that has a large contract, like the linebackers I'm not worried about, some of the younger players I'm not that worried about, but anybody else that could get you value or that you don't think is going to be here in 2, 3, 4 years, goodbye. And that's going to hurt because guys like Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, even Miles Sanders, Fletcher Cox, Slay, all the older guys I'm ready to move on from. I'm ready to get young, probably get bad for 2021, get as many draft picks as you can, Ike, and then build it back up.
Yeah, I the whole idea of getting as many draft picks as you can, I don't even know where that's coming from, because I don't even know which of these players are worth anything significant, meaning what are you going to get back in return for some of these guys, and is it really beneficial for your team's development in 2021. There are a lot of question marks about players, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, that you need to see step up and perform, right? It's part of the reason why I don't want to take a wide receiver, right? You take a wide receiver at number 6, then he had better, A, be a legit player. He's going to have to be your featured guy to just prove that he's worth being the number 6 pick. And then how does Jalen Reagor develop as a wide receiver? How do the other receivers develop? You only have so many footballs to go around to throw to these guys. So what makes them worth all this draft capital that you've spent on them if you're not going to be a team that chucks the ball 40-plus times a game? Nick Sirianni, coming from the coaching tree that he seems to have come from, there may be a little more running aspect to this offense than it is throwing it. That certainly would preclude me from drafting a receiver that early. So I say that to say I got to have a good enough team in place so that Jalen Hurts has a better chance to show us what he has. I mean, for the moves that I just made, now, if they draft a quarterback at number 6 or move up, then I guess it doesn't matter. They're telling you they don't believe in Jalen Hurts, and they just drafted their future guy.
Right.
But if they don't draft a quarterback, then it becomes that much more important that I figure out what do I have in Jalen Hurts. Now, it's a win-win situation as far as I'm concerned. I want to give Jalen the best opportunity to be successful. You know why? Because it means, A, if he's the right guy, that helps the move that I made to trade Carson Wentz smooth over a little bit easier. That means I have a cheaper quarterback that I believe in right now that I don't have to invest any more draft capital in. I don't have to spend $30 million a year on him. I have my guy. And when 2022 comes, now I can even add even more talent around him because the salary cap space that we're going to have will be enormous. So the only benefit that the Eagles would get from stripping the team down is higher draft picks. More draft picks. That's not what I need right now. What I need to know right now is who is my starting quarterback. And I need to put a team around him that's going to give him the best opportunity to be at his best. That's what I need to do this year. That's what I need to do this year. And you know what? And if that leads, let me tell you what's worth more. If it leads to 6-7 wins, whether it's a playoff berth or not, if I feel good coming out of 2021 that I don't need to look for a quarterback, and I got 2 first-round draft picks potentially in 2022, and I got $80 million in salary cap space, and I don't have to look for a quarterback because now I know who my quarterback is, that's going to be more beneficial than losing games, continuing a losing culture, no one getting better because there isn't enough talent around the team for anyone to actually develop into anything. That's really what you just went through. Who got better this year other than a couple backup linemen?
Backup linemen and linebackers. Right, like undrafted type guys. It just proves that like your young core, you really don't have a young core. Goddard didn't go forward. Miles Sanders didn't go forward. None of your wide receivers really stepped forward.
Listen, if you want to move on from Malik Jackson, you want to move on for even Fletcher Cox because you believe it might be some trade value there, I'm okay with that. But I'm keeping Brandon Graham. I'm keeping him here. I'm more inclined to keep Slay because I think he's very good for the locker room. From a personality standpoint, no ego there from him. So you need that as well. And then on the offensive side, my best players that are veterans are offensive linemen. I'm not about to get rid of the best offensive lineman I have for a bunch of question marks when I'm trying to figure out what do I have at the quarterback position. I'm just not about to do that.
All right, 215-592-9494. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. When you're shopping for the diamond engagement ring of her dreams, you buy from the home team. That's Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania on Route 309. Shop local with Mark's. You can check out their website. It's marks-jewelers.com. Do you want the Eagles to move on from any veteran they can this offseason and hit the restart button? Yes, blow it up. No, keep some of the key vets. And 65-35 right now. Blow it up. Let's go to the phones.
Unbelievable.
I'm a little bit surprised because a lot of the callers have been saying the exact opposite, Ike. Let's go to Paul in Woodland. Paul, lead us off. How are you?
Ew, what's going on, Johnny Marks? Ike, what's up?
What's up, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
All right, yeah, man. I'm kind of in between. I'm feeling you. I will get rid of. I'm with the blowing it up, but I'm not getting rid of none of the offensive linemen. Like, either if it's Jalen or we draft the rookie Kubi, how you going to put him out there with a line like we had last year?
No.
And you're going to end up like Carson and be shell-shocked.
But Paul, he was out there with the line like Carson the last 5 games, and he wasn't
shell-shocked. He got worse each game. He got worse.
But he wasn't shell-shocked.
He started throwing interceptions.
By the end of the year, he didn't look the same as he did that first game because he was worried about the pressure. It matters, Johnny Marks. It matters. You can't do that with the O-line. All them other, even Brandon Brooks, Brandon Graham, my favorite player on the team. We could get rid of him, Fletcher, but not the O-line, man. Not the O-line. We got a young quarterback. Okay. Either way, even if we draft one, we got to keep them boys. Like you said, reconstructure Blaine Johnson, Brooks. Hopefully Kelsey don't go nowhere. And the rest of the guys you could get rid of. I could catch Slay, all of them. But we can't do that to the O-line. We gotta keep somebody there to protect our young quarterback. That's just my feeling on it.
Okay,
so you'll get rid of some vets.
But not them all.
Yeah, not all.
Not them all. No, you can't do them all. I also want to go to some games and watch some games. Like, you know.
Well, I'm going to watch the games.
You say you want to at least enjoy a game when you're watching it.
I got to enjoy it. I don't want to go back to the Sixers and Sam Hinkie. I didn't watch a game for 4 years. I can't do that with my Eagles. Come on.
That's true. I did not watch a game for a couple years.
Well, I didn't watch an entire game. I watched most of the games, but only a quarter at the most. All right, Paul, it's Jeff Garcia's birthday today. He is a beloved player that was only here for a short period of time. Who else do we have?
I don't know if this going either way, but I T.O., man. Nobody was loved more than T.O.
That's a clear number one seed.
That might be the GOAT answer.
Is that no. Yeah, I mean, listen.
It beats Rowan.
It's 20 games. Yep. You didn't even get 2 years.
No, it's short term. I mean, Ike, we talk about him.
Still
all the time.
Well, so does he. He helps that.
No, but the other thing is, he still speaks about Philly, even though he loves the city.
I think he's an Eagle, too.
Let me tell you, dude. No, that guy regrets it not working out here.
Yeah.
Now, listen, he knows what happened with him in 5, but he would have loved to have continued to play for Andy and play in this city.
Yeah.
He would have.
Yeah, he knew what it was like here for him when he stepped in here. He never saw love like that anywhere.
You haven't heard T.O. say one bad thing about the city of Philadelphia.
Or Andy.
Since he's left here.
Yep.
Ever.
The flapping of the wings on top of the ball after a touchdown.
Well, so what?
No. I mean, that's awesome. That's part of it.
Yeah, exactly. We give it. We can take it. We got Howard out there performing funerals of the guy in his jersey.
That's what I was just saying. Even burn jerseys and all, he's never said anything bad.
No, and that was more or less the only one he really holds a grudge against is Donovan. We know.
Donovan here.
Have a blessed evening.
It's unfortunate, but.
And that's never going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never going to end. All right, Braden, it's calling from Drexel University. Braden, how are you?
Yo, what's going on, boys?
Braden.
What's up, Braden?
How are you?
Hey, just real quick. It's midterm week. I love you guys' show. Helps me get through the week. I try to listen to the morning show, but it's too much yelling. I can't do my work.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so we're like Sade or something like that, where you just put us on and relax. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm with Ike. I don't think he can blow it up completely. All I keep hearing on every show is, well, let's see what Jalen Hurts has. But if you have no offensive line, like you're not gonna find that out. And to be honest, I feel like there's a couple untouchable players: Lane Johnson, Miles Sanders, Darius Slay, Brandon Graham, and then the offensive line. Everyone else can go.
That's like six untouchable players. There's nobody untouchable on the team. So like, Braden, listen, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. You don't want to put Jalen Hurts out there to get killed. But is that really what you would do if you moved on from Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks? Because I know the offensive line wasn't great, but at the end of last season, you didn't watch those four games and say, well, I couldn't evaluate Jalen Hurts because that offensive line was just so bad. You didn't feel like that watching the games.
Right.
Mailata, Drexel, Seumalo, Dillard, a first-round draft pick. I know it's not the best line in the world, but you're rebuilding. So
yeah,
I don't need these two veterans back.
But those are just high-character, like, Philadelphia Eagles guys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
all right,
Jalen Hurts is going to rely on those guys.
He needs those guys in front of him, just like Carson needed the Jason Peters and the Lane Johnson guys in front of him his rookie year.
Exactly.
Mm. All right. Who's your beloved athlete?
Patrick Robinson. He was a huge part of that Super Bowl run. I think we forget about that a lot.
Wow.
P-Rob.
P-Rob love.
Good luck on your finals or midterms or whatever.
Yes. How about that?
P-Rob Jack?
P-Rob love.
He has the big moment, but I wouldn't say necessarily beloved by the fan base. You're not like, everyone remembers the P-Rob moment, but it's not like, remember P-Rob? You know? I mean, I guess because we brought in Nickell Robey Coleman last year, I guess we were.
He made us miss P-Rob.
Yeah, he actually helped his case with being beloved, but and definitely a role player, if we're talking about role players, but I don't think he's beloved.
Yeah, I mean, not the same. Not like T.O.,
not like those guys.
Rowan,
yeah.
Jeff Garcia.
Chris Long.
Well, maybe he meant that much to that. I forget the caller's
Braden.
Name already.
Braden.
Yeah.
He's thinking he's
only Ben
for
would
mind.
Vote for the
Oh, yeah,
Ben
he
Livingston.
Cried. That's right.
He cried with that right there.
Cried with the pick.
All right, so Chris Long is definitely a number one seed. T.O. is the GOAT of all seeds.
Yeah.
And then we have to continue to construct it. Let's go to Chris in Penzoc. And Chris, how are you?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chris. Hey, buddy.
Good. What's up, Chris?
I was always a five guy, too, like, but my buddy's dad owned a car wash you probably frequent on Route 70. My man, they nicknamed him Mr. Frugal when he pulled in, boy. He wasn't giving up nickels, let alone paper money, man. But he was all good.
Yeah, I can't. Some things I can't defend, right? Like I don't have any defense for that, yeah.
No, they weren't mad at him. They used to laugh at him. They used to, like, dance when he caught up there, like, here comes Mr. Frugal. I'm like, oh, man, that ain't right. I'm with Johnny, man, and I thought about the lineman the past, like, four or five calls. I get it, and I don't want to spook the young lad. I wish him well now he's wearing an Eagles jersey. But I think Johnny's right. I mean, I love Lane Johnson. I love Brooks. But let's think about it. Aren't we being a little bit two-faced? We got on Jason Peters every time for tapping out. These two dudes tapped out for the past 3 years, too. They've been injured for the past 3 years, most of them.
I mean, they've been injured. I don't know if they tapped out, but they've been injured. And that plays a part of it.
That John, that's why I'm with you. They haven't been on the field, so what are we really missing, man? If you come home and they're not there, the dog ain't there. So I agree with Johnny. I'm just scared that they're going to spook that kid. And I was never a Slay signing. No play Slay. For $14 million, I'll drive him to any state he wants to go to, man, in my Denali. I, There's no way I'm keeping him. He does brings nothing to the table. We brought him in to stop those big wide receivers. They dusted him every week.
Yeah. Nah.
I'm with you, John. And Miles Sanders, I'm holding on to him unless you can give me a two. Because you ain't resigned him in 2 years. He's got a four-year contract. He was a second-round pick. They're not giving that kid big money. He never carried the ball 20 times.
Well, which is actually one of the reasons why.
Why you should, yeah.
But if I can get a second-round draft pick for him right now, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You can look at all those rookies in the NFL this year. The kid down in Jacksonville, the year before that, the kid up in Denver.
No way, man.
Here's my sleeper. How about a little Jaromir Jagr?
Jaromir Jagr. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, good 1 year that he was here.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people look at him as a pen.
Yeah, I would have said, whatchamacallit, Chris Pronger.
Chris Pronger. Well, he was here for a lot. He was here for a while. He just didn't play very long.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, he got injured, yeah.
He did.
Yeah. How many years did he play?
The Flyers were actually kings of bringing in the older players for a year or so.
I remember Jagr was here for the 1 year.
Yep.
That made everybody feel weird. And
it was weird.
Uncomfortable.
He was good, though.
Yeah, I think the city ended up actually liking him more than I thought they were going to.
Well, we always do that.
It was like we brought in a cowboy. You can't bring in a penguin.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, he played better than DeMarco Murray. That's for damn sure.
Well, he's still playing Jaromir Jagr.
Does DeMarco make the list of not being here long and being beloved?
No, he doesn't.
He makes the anti-list, the WOAT.
The WOAT.
Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Kirk and Roslyn. Kirky!
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing today?
Kirk,
this is the first phone call that you've made where you didn't lead off or start off with your horse sound effect.
Oh, don't worry. Every time Indy wins next year, the Bronco will check in for a quick quick chat.
Oh, yeah.
No, Johnny, I'm with you. We're going AC/DC, TNT. I'm blowing it all up.
Don't do
everything.
Are there any untouchables?
No. Everything, especially the offensive line.
Okay.
You know why? I don't want to bring those old guys back because I guarantee you, if we don't bring them back, I guarantee you neither of them will play a full season. Neither of them.
Yeah, the problem is, Kirk, who's the starting offensive line?
I don't care. We'll pull them off the street like we did wide receivers.
Mailata, Driscoll, Sayamalu, Dillard, Herbig. First-round draft pick, Natsuo Peita. I don't want him back.
They got a draft coming up. How come a first-year guy out of the draft can't start?
Damn right.
When's the last time that happened here?
I don't know, but they left Mulatto on the bench for 3 years. I didn't realize that position was so hard to learn.
No, it took him three. Well, to be fair to Jordan Mailata, he had never played football before.
Played
rugby.
Still, come on.
Well, Kirk, he's
an
just,
athlete.
Yeah, well, I mean, playing left tackle was not easy.
And by the way, when the Eagles put him in, I don't think they knew if he could play or not.
How could you?
Right? Like, they didn't
until
have a good
he actually plays.
Yeah, I don't think they had a good feeling that he could play or not.
Well, here's another way to look at it. We got a new coaching staff. Put young kids in there. See if they can develop.
Coaching staff's young. Players are young, Ike. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
I just don't see the benefit of stripping a team down, other than you're telling me you're getting a higher draft pick.
Yeah, but look
assets.
At what we had last year. It left 4 wins.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything to lose.
Mm. Oh, sure it is. It's 2 straight years of losing. It's a coaching staff that hasn't won anything. So where are you establishing any type of a winning culture? You want to get rid of the only players who actually won anything in this
league?
Well,
you know what? The way the pandemic's been going, I'm a little angry with everything, so I'm just in an angry mood. I want to blow things up.
All right.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on.
Kirk, who is your who's your beloved athlete that wasn't here long?
Well, no one will agree with this, but for me, it's Pete Rose.
Well, Kirk, thank you. He was here a little bit longer than...
Yeah, he was here for five years.
He was here for, 79 through 83. Mm-hmm. So, five years. No, a little bit too long. But, I mean, I can look past all the obvious stuff with Pete Rose to realize how important he was, or bringing him here was a great idea. Jack, how do you feel in this situation? Are you blowing it up with me? Come on down. Sam Hinkie.
Now, for as pro process as I was, and I would love to find the Eagles version of Robert Covington.
I'm looking for Henry Sims. I'm not looking for Robert Covington.
That sounds horrible.
Bunch of Henry Sims.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, we kind of skirted past this earlier, but Ike didn't watch a game of the process, which hurt a little bit. I mean, that was actually fun Sixers basketball.
No, it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
So the process was way more fun basketball, but no, regardless. No.
Yeah, but Jack, you like a build. You always want the Phillies to be bad so they can constantly be rebuilding.
I'm not even buying into that. Dude, that basketball was terrible.
Well, I was going to ask for a beloved athlete. I was going to write in Tony Roten, my guy.
Tony Roten.
But I agree with Mike on this. I believe culture matters more in football than it does in other sports. And I don't think you can just try to restart a culture with a first-time head coach who's never done it before and give him by his press conference. I don't think it's going to be great at it. And also just a bunch of rookies and young players. Like, I don't think you can do that in the NFL.
How many draft picks do you need? You got 9+ draft picks this year. You're more than likely going to have 2 first-rounders next year.
Yep.
When are you going to start winning football games? You're not going to win with a bunch of rookies and draft picks. Where's the vets on the team? Show me the young team that's winning around the league.
Well, you're not good to win. That's part of the point.
Well, I know, but the you keep getting younger, you're going to be not winning for 2, 3, 4 years.
2 years is like being bad next year is one thing. Being a little bit better the following year, but like here's the thing: you guys keep talking about culture. Where was the culture last year? But these veterans on the team, where was the culture last year? Season totally fell apart.
We're establishing a new culture.
With the same players, though.
No, not with the same players. It's not with the same players. There are a lot of players who I think could have contributed to it being a bad culture already gone. Mm-hmm. Already gone. So you got a new culture that's being established. Jalen has already talked about wanting to win every time he steps on the field. You give him nothing to play with low expectations. What does that look like week to week? I think we get in January, February, March prior to the draft, and it all sounds good about losing and getting draft picks. And then we forget how much we hate losing around here. We didn't even give the team a damn pass 3 years after winning a Super Bowl dealing with a pandemic. We didn't give him a pass. We just fired the head coach and traded away the franchise quarterback. And you're going to tell me we're ready to sit through losing on purpose in football? That's easier to do with the Sixers because it's easier to not follow them. In football, that's very hard to do. To say we're going to go out here with no expectations and expect to lose games.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not something I'm ready to like endure.
Well, prepare
this
for
fan base sitting here right now. I can't believe it. All in favor of just losing on purpose, be the loudest crybabies come next season.
Yeah, but like the odds are they're going to be bad as it is. Like anyway, regardless of what they do, they're going to be bad.
You keep saying the odds are they're going to be bad.
Yeah,
this team is in a better position than it was in 2016. When they started over in 2016, coming off a chip, I believe this team is in a better position now than it was then. It's not as bad as it was then. You know, those freaking offensive weapons that we didn't even know who they were.
Your line was established, though. You had Zach Ertz.
Yes, you had a good line. You had Zach Ertz.
You had Fletcher. You had Brandon. Your core was better then than it is
Brandon.
Now.
Has Brandon been better after 2016 or prior to? So don't act like we had Brandon and everybody was like, yeah, we got Brandon Graham. Whose career high at that point in sacks was probably 5.5.
Right, but he was still younger and he was still entering his prime.
He hadn't done anything.
Okay, but he ended up doing something.
Sure he did. Listen, John, if that team was in such great shape, they wouldn't have they wouldn't have had to bring all the mercenaries in here that they brought in. Secondly, there would have been some young talent available to sustain it.
Well,
they had no talent on that team until they drafted Wentz. They had a receiving core that lasted 1 year with the exception of Nelson Aguilar. Everybody else was gone the following year. That team didn't have any talent on it. You got young players. You got Miles Sanders. You just gave me an offensive line that you, quote, are happy to go into this season with because they're young players. You at least got young wide receivers available to me. Everybody tells me Dallas Goedert is better than Zach Ertz, so you got him right there for you.
Not in 2016, he wasn't.
Well, I'm just saying where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
I don't know. Has Zach Ertz made a Pro Bowl prior to 2016?
Did Dallas Goedert make a Pro Bowl prior to this year?
I'm just saying where Zach was at. That's all. You guys are the one telling me that the Dallas is already better than Zach. I didn't say it. I'm just telling what everybody else told me. I'm just saying prior to that point, Zach hadn't established himself as one of the best tight ends in football.
All right, well, I'm
just saying he wasn't a good player. I'm just saying he wasn't a four-time Pro Bowler at that point. My only point is that I think this roster is in a better position offensively if Jalen Hurts can be the guy. If Jalen Hurts can be the guy. I don't know how many games they can win this year. I just know they won 7 that year, and that wasn't a great roster.
Yeah. Zach Ertz had 75 catches in 2015. So he was.
What does that mean?
Well, it means he was already established more than Dallas Goedert's established.
I didn't say he wasn't.
All right, let's go to.
I didn't say he wasn't. I'm telling you that people are already telling me that Goddard is better. That's all.
In my opinion, the roster in 2015 going into 2016 was significantly better than the roster they have right now, in my opinion. Okay. Let's go to Mark in Fort Washington. Mark, how are you?
Good. Hey, guys. I love your show.
What's up, Mark?
Thank you.
I agree with Ike. I think we should try and win now, and for two reasons. One, you can't put Hurts out there and not give him any support, and you won't know what his value is if you do that. And then secondly, I think with this poor division that we're in, we could actually win the NFC East and still get a decent draft pick out of it.
And get a decent draft pick?
Well, you wouldn't get the draft pick.
Yeah, you're not going to get both.
But you got two first-round picks more than likely next year. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question, Mark. How you winning a division? And I know that like
it's not very good.
You can't see that right now with the roster. Five wins now.
Well, who's winning the division next year?
Dallas.
I think the Eagles could win the division. Seriously.
Okay. All right. I mean, they'll have the longest odds of anybody, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't think that they'll win the division, but I guess we'll see.
I think Hurts is a good quarterback. I watched him play at Alabama. He's a good quarterback. I think we can really bring him along. I mean, he needs to learn a few things, but I really think he can come along and be a good leader.
Okay. All right. Wait, who's your beloved athlete that was here for a short time?
Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon.
Yep.
Good one, Mark. I have to see how long he was here for.
People like Jim McMahon here?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean.
He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's a backup.
Why wouldn't you like him?
He was here for 3 years, so I guess he qualifies. Yeah, he's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I don't.
He was, like, Jim McMahon was a quirky. It was the early 90s.
Well, it was Buddy, too, you know.
Yeah, it was Buddy.
People were all in on Buddy.
We loved the teams, even though they weren't winning anything. In fact, really, the end of Buddy Ryan was benching Randall Cunningham in a playoff game for Jim McMahon.
There you go.
And then they lost the game, and then Buddy got whacked.
Man, I wish we had a show after that game.
After that. Oh, man. Would have been great. Oh, Buddy Ryan would have been fun to do talk radio with, that's for sure. Howard was there wasn't a bigger anti-Buddy guy than Howard Eskin. That's for sure.
Well, Buddy never won a playoff game, so vindication for Howard.
He did not. He certainly did not. Guided Door and Window. Their big winter sale has been extended through the end of the month. 40% off all windows and doors. Call them today, 877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. Let's go to Dominic in Cherry Hill. Dominic, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
What's up, Dominic?
Hey, so I love the show topic today. I really think we got to blow it up, but only get rid of a few, or you keep only keep a few guys for culture purposes, like Brandon Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even say, like, you could probably get away with Fletcher Cox just because of the sheer fact that he is so important to the team.
And you throw Lane Johnson in there. You ready to get rid of Lane?
No, I see Lane and Kelsey are another one where I'm soft at. But I just – everybody else, Slay, things that you get draft picks, okay, makes a lot of sense right now. You know what I mean? Because you could build from that, get valuable pieces, and be young. You know, I'm not worried about winning the division next year. I'm really concerned with, you know, building a culture of this team. And seeing how Sirianni gets his guys, him and Hurt, are able to lead the team. But I wanted to actually bring up to you guys, what do you think in the draft for this later round? I know we keep talking about the first pick. What about the later rounds? Like, where do you guys see us building up, really, and going with some of these picks?
They got to spend a lot of those picks on the defensive side of the ball. They just do. They got to find playmakers, guys that are – I think they got nine plus picks. And if I'm looking at the offense, my biggest concerns is offensive line needs. That's my biggest concern when I look at the offense. I know some people think wide receiver. I think offensive line. You don't give up 60-plus sacks to Wentz and Jalen Hurts last year and think that you are good up front. And that's why I think the Eagles will go in the draft with an offensive lineman, because that's where it starts, up front.
Yeah, I completely agree, Ike. And you know, I like Surtain and all, but we got to shore up this line and get a left tackle. I completely agree with that point you made earlier.
Yep. Mm.
All right, beloved athlete, Dom.
Got to go LeGarrette Blount, baby. Can't get enough of his angry run.
Finally, Dominic, thank you. Yes, a lot of people have been tweeting, and I didn't want to take it. LeGarrette Blount here for a year. Same thing with him. He that year was so special for all those mercenaries we talk about that came in for a year. It certainly meant a lot to them and the fans. Good answer.
Yeah, no, yeah, we love LB. LeGarrette was I think he's probably, for me, I think he's the most underrated player on that team that year.
Mm. Ooh. Oh, that's a good statement.
I think he's the most underrated player on that team that year.
Well, remember they were going to cut him in training camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, which, by the way, I think we pushed
scored
back
on that. Scored a touchdown in all three postseason games.
Hmm.
Scored a touchdown in all three postseason games. Against Atlanta, he scored the first touchdown. I think he ran over Sandejo against Minnesota. And I think he scored the second touchdown against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, LeGarrette. Nobody wanted to tackle that big boy in that cold weather.
Nope.
Nobody wanted to tackle him.
It's a good answer. All right, back to the phone. Steve in South Philly, our buddy Steve. What's up, man? How are you?
Yo, what's up, dudes?
Yo.
What's up, Steve?
Man, so, short answer. You got this dead on. You just got to, keep it as is. Because exactly as you said, nobody's really trying to see a whole bunch of losing. And you've been hearing me say the last 2 days, I'm actually excited about the season, even though everybody else is like, oh, it's going to be horrible. They're going to be losing for 5 years. I'm not really trying to hear all that right now. It's like I can't do the gloom and doom. So, I'm going to try to keep my head up and looking at that. But shifting to another point.
What you got?
The real problem on this whole team, what is up with all the injuries, man, besides San Francisco? It's like we have to have the worst luck with going all the way back to the Super Bowl year. My real question is, what, besides just changing the staff or getting a yoga dude in there or something like that, what can they do to, like, get rid of all these injuries? Because I'm tired of the blue tent.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Steve. I think the Eagles are tired of the blue tent as well. I don't know what to do, but that's something they're going to have to look at. That's something they're going to have to look at because – you have to be able to nail down why we can't get through a season without having as many soft tissue injuries that we're having. Like, are we doing anything differently, than the rest of the teams around the league? And I think they need to practice a little harder.
More.
I think it's a lot of country clubbing going on to try to get guys ready for Sunday so that they're ready to go on Sunday. The problem is you're coasting throughout the week and you're trying to hit the game Sunday going full speed, 100 miles per hour. And I don't know if that works.
Yeah, it's not how the body's built to all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
So, we don't get to watch practice like we used to years ago. And, I knew Andy scheduled in my sleep. But really, since he left here, you haven't really been able to watch practice, a full practice. Like, Andy used to didn't mind letting you watch the full practice. Now they just let you watch the beginning of it, the first 10 minutes of warm-ups or what have you, and then they get you out of there. So I just don't know if Doug was running the type of weekly practices that at least allows for their bodies to be used to the wear and tear, and that when Sundays come around, it's second nature to him to go out there and play. Now, listen, is that going to change with Nick Sirianni? It's his first time ever being a head coach. So So what is he going to come in here with?
Well,
a boot camp?
So, I mean,
he's going to have that guy pushing sleds like the
George Hegeman.
Like the other guy, like that one guy, Andy,
Yeah. So
I don't know what type of coach Nick Sirianni is.
Now, the game and the athlete is different now, the way the players and the CBA and everything. I mean, it's just not the same.
Yep.
But what was the difference between Ray? So you come in under Ray Rose.
Oh, it was a country club.
It was a country club, and then Andy comes in, and it was a shock to your system.
What? It was like a boot camp. I mean, that's what it was with Andy. And Andy intentionally was trying to weed out guys who didn't want to put in the hard work, who was looking to tap out, miss days at practice with a hamstring or what have you. Like, that's what Andy was trying to get all those guys out. Because when I came in as a rookie, it was like, you know, veterans kind of called a shot. You know?
They knew the system and how to play.
Ray was giving you veteran days, giving vets off, you know what I mean? Like, Ray was a big believer in that. And we had an older team during that time.
Right.
So, but when Andy came in here, it was like, no, we're changing the culture around here.
Yeah.
And hard work is going to be the first thing that we establish.
And later on, he gave the veteran days and things like that.
Much later, once his culture was already established. And that's what Nick Sirianni has to come in here and do.
Who would Sirianni put on the sled from this roster?
That's a great question.
You know who I would vote for?
You ought to put on Andre Dillard on the damn sled.
Yeah, you know who I'm putting on there? I'm getting Peters on there.
Well, he won't be
Peters
there.
Is gone, man.
No, I don't care. For what he's done the last couple of years,
he deserves
get
to
Peters
be on,
the
sled.
But you know what with Dillard? Yeah. You put him on the sled, he's gone. Right?
Like, that's correct.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, you're right.
Seriously.
Listen, stuff I've heard about, I'm out.
Yeah.
That
meant everything to me.
Yeah, I can't.
Let's go to the phones. I'm just very emotional.
It seems like in some things that I've been reading, they'd be happy with a mid-round draft pick at this point.
I bet they would.
I mean, but seriously, I mean, look at the investment of you traded up in the first round to get him, and now you talk about pennies on a dollar. It's almost worth keeping on to him just to see if someone can whip his butt into shape rather than get a fourth-round draft pick for him.
Well, it would have been nice if they did any pre-draft research on him.
What, an interview? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, maybe talk to him.
Listen, they'd be lucky to get anything from Andre Dillard. You're right. It was a bad pick.
Good thing they traded up for him, too.
Yeah, it was a bad pick.
Indeed. All right, 215-592-9494.
I told you, cage match. He doesn't get on the field until he does a cage match with somebody first.
Hang on the line because – so what are we talking about, like – what kind of any other rules in the cage match or just an old school Jimmy Superfly Snuka coming off the top rope?
Yeah, I'll take that. I just need to see him fight.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do a little Oklahoma drill.
Something.
Even if he loses. Just the fact that he's fighting.
Hey, I tell my son all the time, you don't got to win every fight. Just make sure you get a good lick in.
Yeah, that's it. That was always my philosophy. Don't back down. If you lose,
exactly.
It's fine.
And my philosophy was, I don't want to fight. I just want to go home.
Yeah. Out. Skookle. You.
Typical baseball pitcher.
Yes, exactly.
All right, it's Wednesday. Wednesdays we play Stump the Millennial. We're looking for caller number 5, 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258. Caller number 5 plays Stump the Millennial. Your chance to win a Conshohocken Brewing gift card. That's next.